myself that took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
But these fellas, they get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
Okay, lads, Connor and Conan, we are going to call this the giving out show because we've no games to preview this weekend. I found out on Monday I have a broken wrist and I'm in the mood to get to just complain about things, right? So today we have Australians taking our players. We have players leaving squads. Too much commitment. ERSI report, all that kind of stuff. We have the advanced mark, which is an abomination now. Everyone's giving out about it.
The Willy mark.
So separating myself away from this, lads. This is not my mark. And we have club versus Sigerson. Conan, Kieran Malloy has a club versus Sigerson dilemma next week. Can you believe this?
I cannot believe who could have predicted this? There's no way of knowing that would happen.
So Kieran Malloy, for the third year, even though they've moved the club into January and they've pulled it away from March, now it's clashing with the first round of the Sigerson, which is knockout. And he's in his last year in Galway, and he's a really important player for them. So it's even worse, and he's carrying a knock apparently, and he has to play an Ireland club final the week after. So there's a good chance he might not line out for Galway, and even if he does, he could aggravate it or whatever. So why? And this the funny thing about this is that the fixtures review committee have not scrapped these early season competitions, have put them into January the same time as an All-Ireland club final. Now, obviously, down the road they want to potentially pulled everything into a calendar year. It just has to happen because it's amazing that this is still happening. Quickly, first though, lads, is Jack McCaffrey has confirmed yesterday. He did media round table, same headlines, and it's every single news outlet is that my understanding is that he's going gung ho to play again. I think he had a little operation on his shoulder. I don't know what his medical situation is, so I don't want to be speculating on that. He's off on holidays. I really hope he's playing again. So he's gung ho to play again. Listen, it's just Cluxton's age really where the speculation is coming in, but that's Dublin fans can rest easy. It looks like Cluxton's although Jim Gavin surprised us all, and you wouldn't know, but it looks like Cluxton's going to play.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought Jack McCaffrey would have said something like gung-ho if he wasn't very confident that he was going to come back again.
And he's on the WhatsApp group, so he knows more than us.
That's exactly it. He's getting all the gossip.
Stephen could have said, I'm gung-ho, lads, to go next year.
I highly doubt that somehow. I know, I thought it might have been in for Cluxton after last year, and the more than Gavin, probably because it was the five in a row as well, but he seemed a little bit more kind of looser and more relaxed after winning it. And when you get, I mean, he's captained, what, four of the five in a row All-Irelands, and then getting football.
He's captain all of the five in a row.
All the five in a row. I was thinking back to the other All-Irelands when Brian Cullen was captain.
There's only one, 11. Cluxton's been captain.
So he's captained all of them apart from one. And then he got Footballer of the Year this year, so I was thinking, geez, what a time to bow out. But I think we found out over the years that Stephen Cluxton isn't wired like the rest of us, and he's probably thinking, why not go and get 10 in a row?
But let's be honest, lads, he's a goalie. Like, they could play it. Look at, what's your man, the Juventus goalkeeper?
Buffon.
These are goalies. Don't compare them to outfield players. They don't need to be as... I know Cluxton is an incredibly fit athlete for a goalkeeper, but they don't. They can play longer than an outfield player. Like Johnny Doyle and these lads play till 38 outfield. Cluxton could play another 4 or 5 years. It says, and he's a teacher. We know his routine. He told us at the All-Stars. He leaves work at 3. He's heads to training at 3:15. Only joking at about 5. He loves that lifestyle. Why would he want to give that up? No big issue to Stephen Cluxton. I'd say I don't see any reason why he wouldn't keep playing.
Yeah, he can go on and be the greatest of all time.
Like, he's player of the year. His reflexes are not slowing down.
Yeah.
And when they slow down, he goes onto a laptop for 5 hours to correct. No, that was technique, not you get my point though. Like, I don't see why wouldn't he? He's a lovely lifestyle as a teacher, the whole summer off. And let's be honest, I've played club with Cluxton. Club isn't his passion. Dublin's his passion. So it's not like he'll go back to his club and be immersed in it, because he never was when I was there. So I see Cluxton having a massive void in his life if he gave up Dublin.
Yeah. Is it a little strange that the captain hasn't sort of committed yet for a year? Like,
well, he hasn't not committed.
No, I know, but
this is just speculation. Why do you have to commit? Why do Jack McCaffrey hasn't committed?
No, because they're starting the league now, in a couple of weeks, since it's just weird.
He's on a holiday. Yeah. With all the others, James McCarthy hasn't committed, Philly McMahon hasn't. All the speculations around Cluxton because he's 38, it's ageism, leave him alone, he'll be back.
Case
closed. Giving out to a good enough to start,
because I wanted to start on a good news story, right? So now we can start giving out. Cathal McShane, this is a strange one, right? It really is, because this fella's 24, he's 25 this year. Right, and he's going for a trial with the Adelaide Crows. Now, he can't play with Adelaide this year. He wouldn't make it yet this year anyways. So say he goes out, impresses in the trial, comes back, plays with Tyrone for the championship, then goes out. Now you're looking at him making his debut. He won't play in the first year. Like, he might break into it towards the end. You're looking at 26, 27 before this lad starts playing. It's the most bizarre transfer I've ever seen coming to the Aussie Rules. McShane is an excellent target man in Gaelic football. Excellent. But he's 10 a penny out in Australia for a player that stands on the edge of the square. There's bigger, there's better fellas with the oval ball. I don't see this working out. I think this is all a big mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, and it was interesting that Colin Begley was talking about him being taken out as a key forward and not like a halfback. Like
Not a halfback. He's been taken out as a mark getter.
Yeah, it is strange, especially for his age and especially the fact that he can't transfer this year, so that's going to knock him back another year. Be 25 by the time he goes out.
No, he's 25 this year coming. He's 24 now, so unless he was 24 in the first few days of the new year, he's 25 this year, so he'd be 26 making his first year. Do you get me?
Yeah, and then
That's his first year. He might not break into the team until he's 27. He's looking at maybe making his debut. It's a load of nonsense, lads. This Mickey Hart probably. I don't blame Cathal McShane going out for a trial. Why wouldn't you? Sure, wrap it up in a holiday and bring your missus out and whatever. But I can't see this going anywhere.
You wonder what he's been told, though, by the Adelaide Crows. Do you know, are they telling him exactly that? You know, that, well, just being honest with you, Cathal, you're 24 now. You can't play this year. You won't be coming out till next year. It'll probably take you a year, if not two, to find your feet. So realistically, we're prepared to give you a shot, but it won't be till you're 27. Do you know what I mean? I thought because he was a ready-made, you know, he's ready-made at 24. It's not like he's been a 17-year-old brought out as a rookie who, if it takes them the same amount of time to get their feet, they'll still be playing at maybe 20. So, like, I thought there might be an element to where they've said, listen, we'll give you this trial, but like, if it's a thing that you don't, you know, if it's a thing that's not working within a year, well then, you know, it's probably going to be too late for you. But I hadn't really thought about that. I only was reading yesterday. I didn't realise that he couldn't actually play this year, because I was thinking he'd do very well to be going out in a trial in January and then be able to play for Adelaide Crows.
He absolutely wouldn't. He'd be lucky if he gets on their second team
exactly,
this year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They have to learn the game. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, now I suppose in the position he's looking to play in, it is a bit more simplistic. Catch a mark, you're close to goal. You don't need probably the same ball skills as a half-back who needs to be bouncing it and needs to be, you know, have vision and needs to kick pass. He needs to catch and score a goal, pretty much, if that's the position he's going for. But like I said, he's not like a huge man. He's not like a Kieran Donaghy. You know, he's 6'2". He's very nicely strong. But like I'd say out in Australian rules, he would be a small inside forward in that role as the target man.
This is a strange thing, like, because he's not the most imposing full forward that we've ever seen here in Gaelic football.
No.
And actually, part of his brilliance, like this year, he's been playing there a year as well at full forward, is that he's been going short for some ball and then going in behind.
He can
for
do
others.
Both.
Like,
yeah.
So it's not like he's just standing at the edge of the square, swallowing up anything that comes near him. Yeah, there's been people like Kieran Donaghy who would have been a much better, sort of more natural fit, and it would have been quicker for them to progress.
Yeah.
This is a weird one, as you say. There are bigger people out there.
It's definitely a weird one. I think Mickey Hart, he was giving out saying that it's a bit sad that it used to be the job of some unknown scouts from Australia, but now it's ex-GA people in Ireland who are scouting our players to take them away to another league, which is of no benefit to us whatever. He says it's one-way traffic, and we all know that. We've talked about this enough times to know that it is very unfortunate. Like, I mean, Marty Clark came back biting on this, because he works in that, and we know Tadhg Kennelly used to be in recruitment, and Marty Clark is in some bit of recruitment. But Marty Clark kind of rubbished what Mickey Hart said, and he said, for Mickey to be suggesting that former GA players have the authority to go to a team like Adelaide Crows and say you should pick him is comical. The hours of research that's done for a profile of a player to fit in with how that team plays, will a guy fit into their culture, where is he at in his life, does he have a career outside of sport he wants to fit in? These are massive, massive things, and they are done only by the clubs. There's no doubt in my mind that Adelaide Crows did this by themselves. So I suppose the way Marty Clark kind of looks at it, Adelaide Crows target him, they bring him for a trial, then Marty might kick in, I don't know, to mentor him, you know what I mean, before he goes. I'm not sure what Marty's role is, or I know they have combines, but this is this is outside a combine. It's an unusual transfer, but I don't think it's I don't think it's Marty Clark's going to Adelaide Crow saying, here, we have a good one here.
Yeah, but I also don't agree with him though. We said like they would have been tracking him for a number of seasons. Like, would you have been tracking Cahill McShane a couple of years ago when he was one of Tyrone's 10 wing forwards?
Yeah, no, that's not accurate. They saw him in the last year, since maybe during the league he caught a few great balls against Galway, do you remember, up in Omagh. Yeah. Like, I mean, but he wasn't really getting off the ground there. He's just he's a great pair of hands, but there's more to him than that. You're right, Conan. Listen, this is just a weird one for me.
I'd say Marty Clark might mean that they're monitoring players in general as opposed to Colin McShane. They're keeping an eye on everything, and then this Colin McShane would obviously have come to the fore given his performances last year.
But Mickey Hart does have a point in that for these combines, like, is it the Australian teams or is it the Irish scouts that are able to, you know, it would be a little bit disappointing if it's XGA players. Look, they're giving players an opportunity too. I don't know what, I don't have a strong way. I keep looking at from one side saying it's terrible to lose our best players, and then I look at the opportunity that these young lads are getting, and I'm torn between the two. I try not to be selfish. Being selfish as a fan and as a GA person is to say, keep them at home, we want to see them. That's very, very selfish. Look at the life Zach Tootie has out in Australia now. What life would he had in Port, living in Port Leash? Like, come on, you know, like, I mean, stop. If you stop being selfish about what you want and think about the player, you should probably think this is a great opportunity and there's nothing really wrong with it.
Yeah, I think Mickey Hart has a point, but he's been really selfish. There's, like, you know, Zach Tuohy's a rare example. Like, the percentages are awful.
Yeah.
But
it's still a great life experience.
Life experience and a great sort of sporting experience as well. Because you come back a better athlete and like your eyes open. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it is hard. And even, like, you know, the likes of Marty Clark and Ty Kennelly, they've got careers after playing sport in this as well. Even though, like, you know, it's danger to GAA players, they still have good careers now off the back of this.
Yeah, you can understand Mickey Hart's frustration. Like, he must be livid, lads. Of all players for Tyrone to lose, is Cahill McShane with the advance mark coming in. Oh, like, honestly, he is the most important player with Tyrone next year. And Matty Donnelly out injured, and we don't know how he's going to come back. Oh, it's a nightmare for Tyrone. Mm. I can see why Mickey Hart is really pissed off, and he's not a big fan of the compromise rules to begin with. I would say he's seething.
No, well, you have to take the comments with a pinch of salt because of that, because of Mickey Hart's past relationship. But just going back to, like, Ray Kinnellan from Westmeath there was doing an interview during the week, and he said that any young player would be insane not to try it out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting where we might come to it, but when you look at that ESRI thing, when you're doing 30 hours a week, whatever, on the other hand, you're looking at going down to Australia, being afforded the chance to live a professional life in the lifestyle that you can live down under. I mean, it's hard to turn your nose up at that at the same time. Yeah. While also being, you know, just pissed off and sad, really, that we're potentially losing some of our best GAA players down to Australia.
I don't think we'll lose McShane I think it's madness, and it could be madness on his point of view as well, because he'll have to do his 2 years rookie contract when he's 27. By the time he hits a decent contract and earns some money, what has he got, 3 years of it? Like, you know what I mean? Tyrone,
does he have to do? Can you not be fast tracked? Maybe at his age,
but for 2 years, you're not making. A lot of them don't make it. Like, Colin Begley was one of the fastest, and he made the senior team towards the end of his first year. Like, and that was, I think, Mark O'Connor did as well. But this is lads that are really picking it up fast. Like, there's no guarantees he will. So you might have to see out your 2 year rookie contract. Now, so he might make good money, and good money over there is what, 200,000 Aussie dollars, 300,000. Convert that to euros.
Wouldn't turn your nose up at that.
You wouldn't turn your nose up at it, but like, he's still given up 6 years working at home. Do you know? Are you going to be financially that far ahead?
Depends on where he is in his career over here, I suppose, as well. If he might be at a point where he's not yet started fully fledged down in the career path that he's going to pursue. So he's thinking, if I'm going to do it anytime, might as well do it now.
Yeah, no, fair enough. A bigger issue probably within the GAA is players leaving squads, and there's talk that it's up to 63 Donegal Boyle had in the Independent, which is just incredible numbers, lads. It just seems unprecedented. It's more than any other year. The worst hit county is Cavan. Jeez, Cavan are gone, lads. Cavan are just completely decimated. You've Darren McVitie, Conor Mina, Killian Clark, Conor Rehill, who was starting this year, Michael Argue, who wasn't, Jack Brady, who was on and off it. Leash have been screwed with the two Kingston, Stephen Attroyd. Clare, arguably worse than anybody else with who they lost, Jamie Malone and Gary Brennan, and Sean O'Donoghue. Tipperary have lost Michael Quinlivan, Liam Casey, Liam McGrath. Leitrim, Michael McWeeney, Jack Heslin, Gary Plunkett, Noel Plunkett, Cahill McCran. Waterford have lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players. Tyg O, Hoolikan, I don't know him. Shane Ahern, Tommy Prendergast, Shane Ryan, Jack Mullaney and JJ Hutchinson. And Longford have lost an awful lot of players as well. Barry McKeown, Connor Berry, Darren Quinn, Robbie Smith, David McGivney, Aidan McGilligott and John Keenan. Holy shit, lads. Like, I mean, this is a lot of players. And is this a commitment thing? Is this ERSI report where they're putting in 31 hours? A working week is 40 hours, lads. 31 hours on your pastime outside your 40 hours. For me, it's not sustainable for most players more than 2 years in a row. I very rarely did more than 2 years in a row, and that was back in the noughties. I'm like, I need a break from this shit. Imagine now, I wouldn't be able to handle. I'd go a year on, a year off.
Well, if you can, if you're that good enough that you can get in and out.
Ah, no, I was good enough.
What I was going to say, I'd like not as extreme as what you said, but I don't think it's sustainable now, especially in certain counties, for somebody to go from have an inter-county career, let's say from the age of 20 to 32 or something like that. I don't know. Could you envisage going 12 or 13 full seasons?
If you're not a teacher,
the required. Yeah,
teacher is
yeah.
perfect. Like yeah. look at your during the summer as a teacher, I'd say they're bored. If they didn't have GA, that 31 hours slots lovely. You're almost a professional athlete working evenings.
Yeah.
That's the truth though, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what you are.
It was just something about like a common thread, if there is one, between maybe the counties that you listed there that are worst affected, is that depending on season to season, the absolute limit for them would be, if you're talking maybe Cavan, Leash and Clare, what's that? Like a place in the Super 8s is the absolute height of their ambitions, maybe a divisional title. So if they were to really weigh it up realistically at the start of the year, they're thinking, right, I'm putting all this time in and my season's probably going to be over by the middle of June. Now that's you should really have a more optimistic outlook than that, but realistically over the course of a number of seasons, that's how it's going to go. That's why I thought that I thought 10 seasons back to back is completely unsustainable for mid-range counties if you're not regularly competing. But then maybe you think that you can't go more than two. That sounds even more alarming than I had thought.
I don't think it's to the same extent in hurling, because every hurling team in the country has a chance to win something in the summer. Every single one has some chance of getting to an All-Ireland semi-final. You have the All-Ireland series, you have the Joe McDonagh, Christy Ring and Nicky Rackard. So they're all fighting for something. They're training now with a view of saying we're in the mix. You know what I mean? We might play in Croke Park if we get to a final. We might do something. Gaelic football doesn't have that for now. So I think maybe a pro of the Tier 2 might, I don't know, might stop this, lads. It might. Niall Murphy from Sligo, he's a new one, and he's a great player for Sligo. He says, one thing that does frustrate me is the length of the season. We're in a county final at the end of October and Sligo were getting together, and that shows you it's a 12-month season. It's crazy. That would annoy me a little bit. The seasonal calendar itself isn't right, and if you had that definite 2-month break, you might not see as many drop out. He's blaming it on the season. We're speculating it might be the commitment levels. I suppose every player's backstory is different.
Yeah.
Every county's chances are different. It just seems as the spread of players and the spread of counties this year, just the ones I read out now are just a selection. It's affecting most counties outside the All-Ireland contenders at senior at the top level.
Yeah, and I would say in fairness to football, there's more counties that you'll look into with regards that you would with hurling.
Yeah, true.
But I would actually agree with Niall Murphy. I think if you had a clear end and a clear off-season, then I think it would be a lot easier mentally to go away from it and then come back, because 31 hours is a lot, but you can't not do that anymore. That's never going to come back down, as depressing as it is. It's like the winter training ban. People aren't going to stop training because they know the training is going to get them better. So these counties are rolling on with or without these players because they know that they have to do this work. So I think if you had a proper season, then that's probably your best bet.
Yeah, it's depressing when you say we can't come back from the 31 hours. Unless when they go back to their clubs in the April that they're, they're the same commitments not being asked of them. But then again, they might fall behind, and then the county manager is going to be monitoring them. I think that's 31 hours is too much, lads. It's too much for anyone who wants a career.
Oh yeah, completely agree. I think you said, is there not more of an uproar about this? I think there has been a bit more uproar, and there's more knowledge, there's more awareness that this is of the dropout this year than there has been in previous years. But I think what will happen is the league is going to start in a couple of weeks' time. We're going to forget it and park it again until the end of the season, next season, when we bring up the same issues all over again. Kieran Molloy is facing another, if he hasn't finished college at that stage, another fixture clash.
It's the truth though with the uproar about the ERSI report. How did that, do regular GAA fans care about what they're putting in, or do they want? I think, as a inter-county fan, you're probably going, well, I want them to do that. Because I want, like, I don't see any sympathy with ordinary GA fans for inter-county players. It's almost like, I don't want to use indentured slaves, but it's like, oh, let them do it. Well, if they're doing it, I want them to do it. I don't think there's any, you know, don't stop and think about, hang on a minute, that's a bit much, no? It's like, you're selfishly again going, I want them to do it because I want us to win.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's almost like they have to do it. And if they're not doing it, if I see one of them in a pub, I'll be ringing. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's like you look at the county lads like they're your property or something.
Mm, you only play county.
And it's hard to break that away. Yeah, do you want to do it? Because I tell you one thing, I'd give my left arm to do it. But, do you know this attitude? I hate it.
You get that at the club as well. Like, you know, people who don't play expect the club players to put in that effort, not the same amount of effort. And I think there's just probably realism. Most GA fans are people who have played or are playing, and they know you have to do a lot of work, and nobody's going to sort of say do less work and you'll get better.
Yeah,
it's a hard sort of sell.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Audra McNeilish is the biggest name from one of the All-Ireland competing counties. He's not committed to Donegal, and Donegal have Declan Bonner was talking this week about the pre-season competitions, so these are all clashing with the Sigerson Cup now. And Sigerson Cup is knockout, so they have to play the Sigerson Cup and the Fitzgibbon Cup. So we have Declan Bonner complaining that there's 12 or 13 fellas playing Sigerson next Sunday that they won't be available, and you have Matty Kenny with the Dublin Hurlers saying we had 24 of a panel against Carlow, and with the Fitzgibbon starting next Sunday there'll be a clash there. That would mean 14 or 15 of those guys will be gone next weekend, but look, I'm sure it's the same for every county. So why on earth these are clashing? These pre-season are a waste of time, and they're causing problems, and I don't know. It must be something to do. I just don't get it. It just seems like such the obvious, easy thing to relieve January and let all these... Look how many inter-county players are playing Sigerson and Fitzgibbon. Let them play it without any messing of this. And let the counties play behind closed doors challenge matches and prepare for the league. How simple is that? Seems so logical. Mention Kieran Malloy, lads. He obviously has that issue. JD Devaney and Kevin Maher, two Boris Ali players, two of the young lads. JD Devaney obviously is the two of them are rising stars. They played schools for Our Ladies of Templemore, and they beat Thurles CBS yesterday. So that is on the Tuesday before they play an All-Ireland club final. Well, it's outside the 10-day rule, I suppose, but I don't think Johnny Kelly, the Boris Ali manager, was too happy about them playing. He tried to pull them, tried to get the school not to play them. But I suppose the two young fellas, when you're in school, that's of very high importance to you. So I'm sure the two young lads wanted to play. The school held firm and says, no, they're playing. And they played. Devaney scored a last minute goal to win the game for them. And Kevin Maher was brilliant at centre half back. So
he cleared the ball down to him, apparently, as well. Yeah, good job. They did play the two with the three.
So moving on here, lads. Everyone's, because I mentioned this at the start of the show, I'm so disappointed with this, and I want to distance myself from this advance mark, because everyone's given out about it. First, when it was proposed as the 21 metre line, there was universal approval of this. There was no issue with this advance mark, but I think people were looking forward to it. Everyone's given out about the three hand passes as one of those rules that just can't happen, and nobody had a bad word to say about the advance mark. Then they go and move it out to the 45 metre line. We've talked about this before. Instead of it being inside the 21, kicked outside the 45, where referees have massive help, as in there's your 20 metres, there's your two lines, how easy is this to adjudicate? Now referees have to guess what's 20 metres. Like, it frees you, go back 13 metres. In their head, they would know 13 metres. Now they have to judge, while play is going at a hectic pace, and as a forward is running towards the ball, closing down the space, like the distance, they have to judge, is that 20 metres? As two players are actually coming closer and closer together, they have to judge, was it 20 metres from when it was kicked and when your man finally catches it? It's just too much. Referees are giving out about it. Managers are giving out about it. Players are giving out about it. David Goff said the added difficulty is that when we're asked as referees to judge on 30 metres, the ball is always stationary. There's another point. Whereas it'll be moving when judging 20 metres. It's really, really difficult. I can see the important decisions being made by referees, which will be shown to be incorrect on TV when they take out their arrow and measuring tape. That's very obvious that the Sunday game will become obsessed with, was this 20 metres? That free won the game and it wasn't even 20 metres. Why do we need this? Why do we need this? And then Connor Lane is complaining about it. It's a bit awkward. At one stage, a Clare fella caught a ball for an offensive mark. I blew the whistle, as I'm now directed to. He stopped and then did nothing. His teammates told him to put up his hand, which he did. And then next thing, a Limerick player complained that it shouldn't be up to me to help the Clare fella in taking a point by blowing the whistle. So do you follow all that, whether I read it clearly or not? So he's saying that he's supposed to blow the whistle because the mark is there, but if some players aren't putting their hand up in time and it looks like the referee is telling him to take the mark. Now, that's something that needs to be ironed out anyways. Like, when players get more accustomed to the mark, they'll know to put their hand up a lot sooner and the mark will be blown or whatever. But that would be an issue inside the 21 anyway. But then again, when you kick a long ball outside the 45 into the 21, there's a good chance, if this caught cleanly, it's going to be taken as a mark, because play on, you know, isn't as much of an option. So there's a lot of people worried. Ryan McManaman said the offensive mark is proving troublesome. The refs don't understand it. The players don't understand it. This is the second week in a row there's been problems with it. Tomás O'Shea tweeted. He said it before and do genuinely think we have completely diluted our game with this. Once teams get into it, it's going to change things. There's no need. The game's fine without it. We're now giving forwards freeze for catching the ball. That's a point we've made here, but it is interesting what he says. Once teams get into it, it's going to change things. So probably this year, lads, we won't see much difference with this attacking mark until some tactical manager like a Jim McGuinness comes along and goes, lads, we're going to pick a full forward line out near the 45, all shooters, and ye get free, and we're going to ping a tee and don't play on. And now we have a game that doesn't resemble Gaelic football. Do you know what I mean? That's the danger and I know I'm given a doomsday scenario which I give out to you for doing, Conor. But at the same time, like, of course managers are going to start figuring out ways to, this is a free kick, why not get your Donny Kingstons, your Michael Murphys, your Donny Shines, your, you know, the bigger fellas that are accurate, and place them inside the 45 and start getting free kicks all over the place, and then the game is not Gaelic football. That's a worry.
And every single player who isn't our best player or two of our best players, and you just stop when you win it because we don't want you taking any risks. You just take a free.
Oh yeah, and they brought it out to 15 seconds to take.
15 seconds, like, and that's David Goff and Conor Lane, your two All Ireland final referees from 2019.
Now that is a warning signal, right?
Yeah, and then there was two incidents just off the back of what McManaman was saying. The players and refs don't understand it. Last night in the Derry game, Chrissy Bradley from Socneil won a mark, but he played on. And he shot and he scored and the ref pulled it back. So the ref didn't seem to understand it, and it caused a bit of an uproar, and there was a hot ball. Nobody knew why. Then Michael Carroll, the other end for Donegal, caught a lovely mark and he stopped. But then the ref gave a free out because it was a free kick that was kicked down to him, and you can't win a mark from a free kick.
Right.
So he didn't understand it as a player. The ref didn't understand the first one. So that's the first couple of weeks, but it's just a bit of a mess.
No, so the game's too dynamic to be slowing it down with this. Too far out the field, like we said, inside the 21, it adds a bit of drama to the game. It keeps defenders honest inside. It means you have to pressurise the ball further out the field for the fear that you're going to give them a lovely easy kick in and a fetch. And I think traditionalists love the odd long ball into the edge of square and seeking someone catch it. That's what the original idea was. Why did they change it? And it's gone from being a popular rule change to a massively unpopular one.
Yeah, just the things you're on about there, but the mistakes that happened last night, and with Conor Lane, for example, I think this rule is going to have teething problems. You know, they can be ironed out with fairly clear, you know, introductions to the rule book that you have to do this or this has to happen. I think teething problems like that are
just
inevitable.
Even practice.
Yeah, but it's just what David Goff then mentioned. It's the judging of this arbitrary distance of 20 metres when the ball, like he mentioned 13 metres there at the moment. That's for a free. That's when the ball is stopped. When you're trying to judge all that while trying to keep an eye on everything while the game is moving, and like, it's not as if it's a 20 metres kicked in a straight line, it can be a diagonal ball that goes across the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much to kind of keep an eye on. I think that's where it's gonna you know, create real problems. And as you said, the Sunday game will be doing that because it'll be what everybody is talking about anyway. The Sunday game won't be saying, oh, that was only 90 metres. It'll be because everybody after the game is like, oh, he gave that free, you know, that free, or he gave that mark and it was only 18 metres or something, and it makes it so hard on the referees. My issue with it is, I think you kind of alluded to it there, is that when you bring it outside the 21, is that, like, it just, like I was even like Carfin weren't brilliant on Saturday, but there was a couple of moves where they had like long balls into space and it was real fluid movement and the move never stopped. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that type of pass is coached where it bounces into a forward on the move who can then turn or take on his man. Whereas now I'd be afraid that, as you said, that it'll be coached to kick it directly to a man that he can catch it without having to move, and then it's all stop start as opposed to it being fluid. So yeah. I don't know, like I'm going to reserve judgment on these things when I see them, but the more I think about it, the more concerned I am.
And like you said, with the 13 metre freeze, lads, and that's stationary, how many times have you seen a referee actually count them out and they're way in further than 13 metres? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And most of the time they wouldn't be 13 metres, and that's from a stationary position.
One guy's 20 metres will be another guy's 30 metres. That's the problem. Madness.
Depends how the rest's feeling. I also feel, outside of the technicalities of it, it's just, did we need a rule like this? Maybe the original William Work, he's taken your name and they've smeared it with this. But that would have been a bit of excitement. Like, put it in the mixer and see what happens. Like, you know, and it wouldn't have affected the overall game.
It might happen three or four times a half. Three times a half.
It would have rewarded a big catch in a tight area.
Exactly.
And like, yeah, you wouldn't have gotten the Aidan O'Shea wouldn't have got the shit kicked out of him. He would have won a free.
There you go, yeah.
Catch.
And you'd be rewarded for getting it in there, and you would see more kicking in there.
Yeah.
And that would be it.
But 2019, I think, was the first time since 2011 where we came off a season and nobody was crying about the game, because people started to realise, like, if you're playing 15 behind the ball, you're a dinosaur, you're losing, you're getting relegated. So people had started to move away from that. It was the first time where we weren't crying about how the game was being played as much.
Yeah,
it was just all about the fixtures and everything else. But we seemed to be moving on somewhere, and then this is just a drastic change from it all.
Look at all the successful teams this year, right? So look at the club finalists, Currafin and Kilcoo. Currafin's game plan is kicking. Kilcoo's is to get it into Conor Laverty and let him run off it. It's a kicking game plan as well. Now, they do drop men back, but they play a nice brand of football because they mix it up. Look, who won the Connacht title? Roscommon, kick it in, two-man full forward line. Who won Munster? And Roscommon are no heavyweights. Who won Munster? Kerry, kicking team. Leinster, Dublin, kicking team. Ulster, Donegal, kicking a lot more. Actually, they're mixing it up nicely as well. Teams that are not kicking are not successful. So the game had been introducing kicking, a little bit more kicking. Now the kicking is going to be rewarded by stopping the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's disappointing now. Now, it was brought in before we had a great championship last year, but it's disappointing. And I hate being a doomsdayer because my attitude is, to let's see how this works out. And I'm sure this year it could work out fine, because players won't take marks because they haven't had enough time to practice it. They might actually take more marks. It's what happens in 2 years' time or 3 years' time when this mark becomes part of training and some manager comes out with a great tactic and it's copied. And now, you know what I mean? What do you do then? You scrap it. And that's kind of it gone. Anyways, lads, you could talk about that all day. Laoise Camogie is in the news headlines, lads. They're not going to field a team this year, which is a really strange one. They have an intermediate team. In a statement, the Laoise Camogie board said, following an executive meeting held on Monday, whatever, it's with great regret the Laoise Camogie are not in a position to field an intermediate team for 2020 competitions due to unavailability of players. So last Friday night, five players retired, and they reckon they didn't have enough players to play this year. But Camross girls, who had been playing right up until last November, they hadn't committed. And my information is, every January in Laoise Camogie they're struggling for players and they eventually start coming back. So the girls that didn't retire are involved and want to play Camogie are going to take this a bit further, send Croke Park an email criticising the Laoise County Board for pulling this team way too fast without trying to find a solution to it. So this story isn't going to finish, because if they'd given it a little bit more time, the manager jacked it in then, that they would have had the Camaras girls back, and the minors were good last year, get a few of them in. My information is this was done way too quickly altogether, without giving it enough mediation, and that the girls that want to play and now can't play are not one bit happy about it. So it's a weird one.
Yeah, I don't think you can just pull a team, like get a new manager in,
yeah,
and let him or her try and pick a team. And
yeah,
it's weird that they would just decide that they don't have enough players.
Yeah,
get a manager and let them decide.
Well, go to the clubs and say, have whole trials.
Yeah,
and say, okay, well, those girls don't want to play, but I'm sure there's plenty of club players that would be delighted to take, and maybe we might not be as good as we were last year, but we have an intermediate team to field. Very unusual just to scrap a team altogether. But my information is that this was just an easy option and maybe, I don't know, probably save some money if you don't have a team.
Sounds like one of those projects in work where if it's falling through, you're sort of like, ah, does it really matter if it doesn't go ahead? Like, you know, this is the leash, a camogie team. You can't do it with that.
Coming off a bad year, I thought it was a strange one. All right, we'll leave it there, lads, because I was in Croke Park this morning and I was talking to Conor Cox. He was at the launch of the Alliance Leagues. Alliance are in their 28th year of sponsoring the Alliance Leagues, which is the longest running sponsorship in Irish sports. So we'll talk to Conor Cox next.
Advice he gave me back then was we were in the Glenroy on a night out and I'd never met him before and he put his arm around me and he said, "You won't go too far wrong if you win the ball and give it to me." I said, "All right, well, okay."
That's great advice.
Yeah, it was. For you.
So I'm here in Croke Park with Conor Cox. He's a man that is from Kerry. He plays with Roscommon and he lives in Leitrim.
That's it. So
that's
a nice
tongue twister.
Keep your mind going.
How's things? You're back training. You have a good year to build on from last year.
We're back now the last few weeks. I suppose a few fellas maybe still doing a bit of rehab and that, but no, yeah, we're out in the field now the last few weeks and it's been very enjoyable.
Yeah. So come here, I always want to ask you, like, what's it like playing for Roscommon? Like, because you're from Kerry, which is the kingdom. It's like the most successful county in the whole country, so I'm sure you always dreamed of playing with Kerry. What's it like playing with another county?
I suppose the move itself has been seamless enough, just with the panel of players that are in Roscommon and the management, and I suppose the people in general there have been very friendly and I suppose nice to me, so that makes it all the more easy. But it's been seamless enough, to be honest. Yeah, I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, and is it weird watching Kerry then in the All-Ireland? Because they're your rivals now, they're not your county anymore, right?
Yeah, I was actually at both All-Ireland finals this year now, supporting them and hoping that they would get over the line, but unfortunately they didn't. But I'm sure, look, they'll come back bigger, better and stronger next year.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you quickly about Kerry when you were down there, because in every county there's players that are good enough, and for whatever reason, maybe they don't fancy by a manager, and then another manager comes in, and then they get their chance. You know, like with you, you played minor, you're on minor panels, you played 2 year under 21, you were outstanding for UCC, but you never got over the line with the seniors.
Yeah, I suppose that was it. at the time, I suppose everyone has different opinions about everything. Isn't that the way that the world works, really?
Yeah.
So, no, it didn't work out with me with Kerry, but look, I'm delighted to be at Roscommon now, and I'm looking forward to the future of playing at Roscommon too.
Yeah. So, just thinking back from your situation, that, like, there's not much more you can do. You're one of the best players for UCC. You're going well with the Kerry under 21s. Like, how frustrated are you when you're down in Kerry and you're not getting in, and you get a league game and you do all right, you score pretty well, and then you don't get another one? Like, are you having conversations with him, Fitzmaurice, or do you think about playing with Roscommon? Like, what's going on in your head at that stage?
No, actually, funny enough, as you said there, at the time I had so much football going on with UCC. My club were very strong at that time, and I had Field Rangers District, so I suppose I didn't really have time to think about anything else other than just go out and play all the games and do my best on the day. And look, for whatever reason, didn't work out with Kerry, but as I said, I'm really enjoying it now at Roscommon and looking forward to the future.
Yeah, and I suppose with Roscommon, the first year with Roscommon, like, I mean, this fairy tale stuff, really, how well it went for you personally and for Roscommon.
Yeah, it was a reasonably good year, I feel, for Roscommon. I think the target of maybe getting to an All-Ireland semi-final, it didn't work out for us in the end, but it's definitely, we've a very competitive Alliance League to look forward to, and then that'll hopefully lead nicely into Championship this year. But again, it's just to improve on last year. It might sound cliche or something, but there's definitely things that we need to improve on too to make the group stronger.
Yeah, I suppose, like, I mean, it didn't get much media attention, the game in Cork, because you were bowed out. Yeah. That was a big win for you, I suppose, psychologically for yourself.
Yeah, it was, in fairness. Now, and as you said, look, both of us are out, but it was important for Roscommon to get a win in the Super 8s. The year before that, they weren't so lucky. I think they were new to the whole thing and maybe caught a little off guard. But definitely, we targeted the Cork game as soon as the Dublin game was finished here, and we were delighted to get the win.
Yeah, and I suppose you're competitive against Tyrone as well.
Yeah, that was it, I suppose. Tyrone probably had a bit more experience on the day, but it's definitely something that we'll try and learn from for this year and years to come.
What were you surprised when you got the call off Anthony Cunningham?
I suppose I was, yeah.
Did you put feelers out at all?
No, I don't. Maybe my dad did, all right. I'm not too sure, but no, I was delighted. I actually didn't have the number, obviously, you know, when it came in, so I think it was a Tuesday evening. I was like, who's this not ringing me after a hard day's work? But no, I was delighted to get the call, and Anthony is... He's so friendly, and he's just such a good manager. So it was a seamless conversation, and he just, I suppose, asked me would I be interested, and I jumped at the opportunity.
And when you jumped at the opportunity, you came up and you walked into the dressing room for the first time. What was that like?
Yeah, I was small but apprehensive, right? To drive down.
There was no eye contact. It was head to the ground.
Yeah, head to the head to the ground, and just hoping, please don't be a running session. But no, it's been seamless enough. The lads are sound, like all the players, and I suppose I have great memories from the first year, but I've also made some great friends too.
And so whose seat did you sit in the first night you went in? Everyone has their spot in the dressing room. I think it was David Clifford said he sat in Gooch's seat the first time he came in. He didn't really realise.
Yeah, I sat in Conor Daly's spot, and I'm still there.
That's so dangerous.
He hasn't been able to move me yet.
Come here, watching you on the field, you don't lack confidence. You know, have you always been like that? Like, you kind of have a shoot on sight policy.
Yeah, I suppose... I put in a lot of practice, and if I feel that there's a shot on, I'll go for it. But if I suppose there's a man in a better position, I'll try and get it in. But definitely, I've, like as you said, confidence or whatever you want to call it, maybe just have a lot of years of hard work under my belt, so I know what I can and can't do in a field, maybe.
Yeah, you back yourself, because like, I mean, usually the way Roscommon play, you're in a two-man full forward line, and when you get it, like, you're the chief scorer. So I suppose the responsibility for
I suppose that's it, really. Inside full forward line, you are kind of responsible for scoring, but I suppose at the same time, the way the game has changed, there's a lot more attributes to it now, like tracking back, and there's cornerbacks out there on the pitch that would be scoring, you know, probably a good few points a year, so you have to try and keep an eye on them too at the same time. But as you said, look, if you're a forward, you're responsible to score.
What do you like with that though, the tracking back and stuff? Because let's be honest, you don't want to do that, if we're being honest. Like, you'll do it, but why should you have to do it? I was watching a show with Gary Neville and Wayne Rooney the other night, and Wayne Rooney said when Ronaldo got really good with United, he says, I used to do his work. That's Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Because he said, I wanted him fresh to be able to win the game. But in the GAA, it seems to be everyone, even the scorers, have to track.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah.
I'm trying to make a case for you not to have to track.
I get it. I suppose just you are responsible for the person you're marking, where on the field. And if I'm standing in full forward line there and I see my man go down the field and kick a point, and he's jogging up and the crowd are giving him and all that, it's not great for me. But yeah, look, I suppose you're just responsible for your own man as far as...
Yeah, but it's heartbreaking, because a lot of the cornerbacks are only... Their only purpose in doing that is to pull you out and make you tired.
Yeah.
You know what they're trying to do.
I've learned the hard way there. But I suppose you do, but... I mean, like, fair enough, if you have extra bodies around the middle, maybe you can pass them on to somebody else.
Yeah. But is it important the odd time to pass them off? Because
I personally think it is, because, as you said yourself, you don't want a corner forward or full forward down the other side of the field. Now, I personally don't have a problem doing it, or I'm sure other inside forwards don't, but... Like you said, if you could pass them on, it is the better situation, I suppose, for you.
Yeah, we mentioned your confidence at kicking points. The point in the Connacht final, we gave you credit for meaning it off the outside of the left. I'm pretty sure you're claiming it. Enda Smith was at the back post, but in your defence, I watched it a few times, you never looked across. You didn't know he was there, so you did mean it, right?
I suppose I haven't actually... Maybe I saw it a few days after the game, but I haven't really seen it since. But from what I can remember, I think I was doubled up on. I think it was Peter Cook came back to double up, and I just kind of said, well, I can't go out there because I'll get caught for overcarrying or whatever. So there was nothing else on, so I went for it, and thank God it went over. But I suppose, like, on another day, it probably would have gone away.
Well, I think you tried it against Tyrone again, did you?
Can't remember that.
Something similar, I think. But I think sometimes there is a reluctance, and this is why it works well for you, that when you recycle it, the attack is nearly gone then, because the other team will have bodies back. When you get your ball in your hands in a two-man full forward line and you get a good kick pass, if you don't make something happen quickly...
Yeah,
the attack is... It turns into a bore fest. Then you're heading back out to the forward.
Exactly, you have
to make the attack count when you get it in your hands.
Definitely. Yeah, I suppose, like, when you do get the ball inside 13 or 21 in the inside line, I suppose your first thought maybe is, can I get a score here? Can I create something? And like you said, if you don't do one of those things in the first few seconds, I mean, there's bodies coming back, and you'll have to go around and wrap again. But I suppose, look, there's an enjoyment side aspect of that too, that if you get a score after going around and back over again, it maybe puts a bit of a seed of doubt in the opponents after having a number of people back, and you still manage to get a point or a goal. I suppose it works both ways.
So we all know your role when you're waiting for the kick pass and you get out and win it in front and hopefully you get a score. So then, say if you recycle it and all the bodies are back, how do you change your role then? Do you go back inside and do you try to buzz around or try to find a loop?
I suppose you just try and buzz around and wherever you can see space. If there is space there, try and get into it, and think it's important too to always have maybe one or two bodies inside around
to keep it in there.
Exactly, yeah, to keep the sweepers occupied, I suppose, and keep them busy that they're thinking about the goals. Maybe might get a shot out here then, but yeah, I suppose that's it really, just patience with the when defences are flooded, just patience and try and carve something open.
Yeah, yeah. So Dermot Murta is out this year. That's a huge blow for you.
I'm not actually 100% sure about that.
I think it's been reported that he's taken a year out.
Yeah, I heard that, right? It's just, I think Dermot's had a bad few injuries, especially with his eye there last year, so he might be doing a small bit of rehab. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
Okay, right. Yeah. I thought he wasn't, but maybe it's not 100% sure.
Yeah,
you know off the WhatsApp group better than me. So, but like, I mean, what do you make of all these players from different counties? The reports are out there are 60 different players. I'm sure it wouldn't be in your head now. This is unbelievable when your first few years you're proving yourself and it's all exciting, but
yeah.
Do you see the commitment levels like as being a little bit over the top, or are you kind of happy to do it?
Yeah, look, I suppose if somebody does choose to take a year out and go travelling or wherever it may be, you can't really, you know, be mad at them or anything like that, because like at the end of the day we're all amateurs, we all have our day jobs, we all might want to have gone travelling at some stage. I've personally done my travelling, so I'm happy enough with it to leave it at that, but some people might not be as fortunate as me. They might have been busy with their jobs and maybe they just get the odd year, a bit of free spare time at work. So I mean, everybody's story is different, so if a player makes a decision, you can't really have, there's no hard feelings there, do you know?
Yeah, I mentioned that you're a confident player. I really enjoyed your interview after the Mayo game, because the Sky reporter was trying to push you for a certain answer. He was like, could you believe that a day like this would ever come when you transfer to Roscommon? And you were like, yeah, I could actually. They're a Super 8 team, you know, this is exactly what I transferred for.
Yeah, I suppose, look, you don't start out in December and January to play these big games and let a team, you know, walk all over you, bully you. You go out every game to win. Every team in the country does that. So definitely, yeah, look, I'm not here to, you know, to be training away and hoping to do something. I want to win every game, as does every other player. So
that's a Kerry attitude, though. That's just in you, isn't it? Because I don't know.
Sure.
I think it is. Like, I mean, you wouldn't. It would be obscene for a Kerry inter-county player not to think they're going to win something or to be happy with a first round win.
Yeah. I'm not too sure about that, Nicholi. I think that if you are playing the game, you know, you're going to be some bit competitive and competitive in your own personal life. So nobody likes to lose. We know that. So definitely, we'll. This year now we'll try and get a few more wins on the belt, hopefully.
Come here, have you done much work on the advanced mark, or what do you think of this whole thing?
As I said, we're only back training a few weeks, but I suppose like anything in Roscommon, we would encourage the kick pass.
You do a lot.
That's the way we like to play, so I don't think it will change much in our game style, but if it encourages the kick, I mean, you know yourself when you're watching games, teams that kick the ball, they're better spectacles to watch, they're better games to watch. And
well, the successful teams are kicking it more.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. Yeah, definitely. And again, it makes the spectators better viewing for them. So I would encourage kick pass. Yeah.
The danger is that it's going to slow down the game, that marks will be taken just inside the 45. And that's what a lot of people are thinking, that when coaches start getting to grips with it and maybe start using tactics which just have lads planted to get marks, that the game will completely change.
Yeah, I suppose you'll have to work the scoreboard too, because, you know, if there's maybe 10 minutes to go, you're 5 or 6 points down, you're probably thinking we might need a goal here, so you might have to move it on fast. But I suppose it's in now, so you have to deal with it. I don't think it'll make much difference change wise maybe, as you said, if a player wants to take his point, there might actually be a goal on, so it'll be getting used to that maybe. But other than that, I think personally it encourages the kick pass, so I hope it's a good thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a good thing. What's a good year for Roscommon, just to finish up?
A good year for Roscommon is to improve on last year. I think in the Alliance League this year, it's going to be very, very competitive. So we just want to start off well in that, and hopefully the graph keep rises throughout the year.
You might lose your first one. Thanks very much,
Conor. No worries, really. Thanks very much.
All right, we'll be back with some more news.
My mother, the Lord of Mercy, now she's dead. She's 8 years this year. She never saw me hurling live, but she always went to the matches, to the hotel, the two finals, and we got off the bus after the first one, and the first person to meet me was my mother, and she said, look, what's meant to be is meant to be. She said, keep the head up. I said, grand. No problem, ma'am. Thanks. 96, back to the hotel again, first person off the bus, my mother. She says, ah, look, what's meant to be? I said, man, will you give it a fucking right?
Yeah, interesting that Conor Cox doesn't share our negative views on the events. Mark, Jack McCaffrey hates it. Most players that I've been reading hates it. Conor Cox obviously thinks that it'll encourage more kicking, and it will encourage more kicking, but what will result in the catches is maybe what I suppose Conor Cox isn't going to complain. He gets a free shot of the goals and he's lethal accurate, so I can understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, kick the bloody thing into me.
Get it in. So the GAA and the GPA are in talks, lads. Just briefly want to mention this. So the last deal they did was from 2016 to 2019. So they've gone past the deadline for that. So they're in no man's land at the moment. They haven't struck a no deal. They're at a bit of a standoff. The roadblock looks like the GPA want more money and the GAA don't want to give it to them. So as it stands now, they're on the old deal just rolls over until they can negotiate a new deal. So it's interesting just to keep your eye on that. Now, do you think a day would ever come where the GPA separate themselves from the GAA and go out and get their own commercial revenue? Like, to be honest, they went in under the GAA's umbrella back when the recession hit and they actually had no way of funding themselves. Now that the economy has turned around, maybe they could go out and get their own sponsors maybe and do their own fundraising and then be a proper union again. Wouldn't that be great? I think just get them out of there, because a lot of the criticism the GPA face is from Joe Brawley and Colin O'Rourke and go, this isn't what amateur association is about. They're taking too much money. I have no problem with all the money they're taking because it goes for good. It goes for good causes. My issues with the GPA is that they're not a rebel force anymore and they don't hold the GAA to account on enough things because they're inside. Pull them outside, get your own funding, take the 15% of their revenue like you're doing, which a union is entitled to, and start rattling a few bloody cages. Wouldn't that be fantastic? And if that happened, I'll start paying my membership again.
are they entitled to just take the 15% of revenue as you said?
That's
if they
standard
split
for
the,
a union.
They split from the GAA, right?
Well, like, I mean, it's either that or we pull our players.
Oh, right.
What
okay.
do you want?
Yeah, well, fair enough, fair enough.
15% better, is 85% better than nothing.
Yeah, that's true, it's true. I was about to say, like, the militant is probably the wrong word. But
that's only of commercial revenue.
Yeah,
now.
Of course.
That's not of, I think they should take actual attendance revenue as well.
Right. I think John Horne mentioned that. He gave an interview, I think it was on the All-Stars tour. He was a bit prickly towards, you know, he was saying that there was a roadblock, it was very difficult. I think he had a pop at the Super 11s, the hurling game that they do play abroad as well, and had a couple of pops of what Paul Flynn was saying about the tier two. So I'd say that GBA aren't, I wouldn't, militant is probably the wrong word, but they're definitely getting a bit more kind of stronger, kind of, you know,
Flynn is
making their voice heard under Paul Flynn.
Don't you say teams reflect their manager? The GPA now is reflecting a combative Paul Flynn. That's the way I look at it. He's not really standing for it, like, I mean, and that has to be a good thing for any union, right?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. It's like, if they're part of the GA, then it seems hard for them to rattle cages like you want.
Impossible,
them to be.
Really.
But if they're going to be part of it and rattle cages like they're starting to do, then are the GA going to be like, piss off, like, you know, we're not giving you a new deal until you just clip your wings a little bit?
And that wouldn't be a good deal for the GA, because the GA's great deal was bringing them in, silencing them, plumb-ossing them, giving them some money and saying, oh, well, that's that big problem. Because the GPA were a big, big problem for the GAA. They were. And now they're not a big problem. But now, if the GPA are rattling cages from inside, if the GAA say, right, go on, forget about that money, the GPA could go, right, well, we'll stand on our own 2 feet. Don't expect the league to start next year until we... Do you know what I mean? Like, I think the GPA have the G over a barrel. They're the cash cow. They're the massive revenue generator the inter-county players are. And, like, I mean, that's the reality of it. But just before we left for Christmas, lads, because we did two pre-records, the GPA and the CPA released a joint statement. And I'm so happy with this, because we said this on the show loads of times. And I've said this in private to CPA members. I said, you're at nothing without the GPA. You're at nothing without them. They are club players too. They're not the enemy. They are the cash cow. They hold more clout than ye. Don't have an us versus ye with GPA and CPA. Come together. Because the championship structure is something that affects everybody. And the two unions coming together, I was thrilled to see the joint statement from both of them agreeing on a number of points that both unions are in agreement on, and are in agreement with a lot of different points. So it was fantastic to see that.
Yeah, it really was, and I think you're right. Like, the CPA and GPA they need each other.
Yeah.
Especially
now, like, they can disagree on different things because they are competing with each other too, but they are on championship structures, they're together on that.
Of course, like, and that's the big thing. Like, we always talk, like, there's so many problems in the GAA, but the big thing is that, you know, the season's going from January to, well, the next March or whatever. So they do need to get together and sort that out. And especially now, if the GPA, I'd say that's probably where the standoff is now. I don't know, but between the GAA and the GPA, it seems like the GPA are trying to sort of strong arm the GAA, and the GAA are probably trying to do that because they're paying the GPA. So the GPA makes a lot of sense to start acquiring friendships outside of the GAA.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And the CPA have a lot more public sympathy than the GPA. So they actually kind of mutually benefit each other, don't they? So, like, I mean, I'm not going to read out all the points that they agree on because it's online and it's kind of old enough news. So we'll leave it at that, other than the fact that this is a great development, again, that they've come together. Lads, before we finish, I want to talk about three more things. We're going to talk about Galway, we're going to talk about Mayo with you, Connor, and we're going to talk about Derry with you.
Yeah.
But first, you know, I've got a huge interest in Galway football. I predicted them. Big things for them. They have a new manager now who I love. Anyone doesn't love Pádraig Joyce is a weirdo as far as I'm concerned. They don't love Gaelic football if they don't love Pádraig Joyce. They've picked a team for the Mayo semi-final in the FBD Cup. Now, I don't comment on FBD or Burn Cup. I just refuse to do it. But at the same time, there was a few positional selections that I thought were interesting. So he's played Gary O'Donnell, usual wing back at full back. Now he's probably experimenting, but a couple I thought was interesting. Johnny Heaney,
who's
played wing forward a lot, now wing forward, wing back, maybe more wing back, he's playing cornerback. And then I thought, is Pádraig Joyce being really clever here? Because if you're being honest, every county in the country, I think every single one except for maybe Dublin, is playing a two man full forward line. Right, so you're going to have one man spare. Why not have him a Johnny Heaney type player? You don't need a traditional three markers back there because one marker is not really going. You know, a Philly McMahon gets a lovely free roll. You know, look at Liam Silk from like Cara Finn. It makes sense to have a footballer in your full back line. Is Joyce thinking like this? If he is, brilliant. It's brilliant news for Galway. Eamon Branigan, wing back, pick number 5. He was wing forward. He could work there. And Killian McDade is picked wing back. That's probably the most attacking defence I've seen from Galway in a long time. I think we're going to see a new style of play. Shane Walsh is captain. I think giving him that responsibility is going to maybe bring him to a new level. You see, captain can either make or break you. Hopefully it'll make Shane Walsh, and he'll be even more of a leader. I think he kind of has started to be one of them. And Paul Conroy's played corner forward, or he'll probably come out around midfield, or maybe he's in there for an attacking mark. Look, I don't know. It's only the FBD Cup. It's only one team. I'm after reading it, and now I'm all excited about I'm all excited about Galway again.
I think it's usually exciting if you are a Galway fan looking at that team and then thinking of the lads that have to come back in. You're thinking of Liam Silk, Kieran Malloy from Cara Finn, a couple of Ian Burke, Damien Comer. Jeez, I forgot about Damien Comer. God. So it's obviously really exciting. And just
maybe
to say
centre back.
Just say about the FBD. I mean, like, it's obviously nothing to write home about, whatever. But in the last few years, particularly just because of the rivalry between Galway and Mayo has become so kind of keenly felt, and like Galway held it over us for years, even in the FPD in the last couple of years, the Mayo simply couldn't beat them, and we couldn't until we bet them down in Limerick last year. So there has been an edge to these games, and there will be an edge, I'd say, on Sunday as well. But Shane Walsh of 14, I it's a privilege to wear the number 14 in a team managed by Pádraig Joyce, but I'd imagine that he'd eventually end up operating around 11 again. I feel he needs to be involved in the game more than rather than having him in the full forward line. Yeah. I also thought that Paul Conroy would come out. I know he could be in there for an advanced mark option, but until, I think Galway need to discover somebody else around the middle apart from Flynn and O'Curran, because
Cook is gone. He's one of the lads that's gone this year, so that's he's a big loss, because Flynn and O'Curran are not a partnership that's going to guarantee a possession. They're too easily bullied. I think
Duggan has been around there
the last
couple of years as well, but I don't know. I just feel if it's going to be Flynn and O'Curran, they need somebody else because they're not strong enough at the top level on their own as a midfield partnership.
I agree. Maybe Paul Conroy and Duggan might be. I'd have Flynn or Corrin, and nearly just have us coming in as a sub. Anyways, look, we know they have unbelievable raw materials, and now they have a manager that I'm sure will take them in a different direction than they were. Every team obviously has to work hard and get some bodies back, but the focus on Galway seems to be more taking the game, you know, to the opposition. And you know, that's fantastic for me. Can I try another 3 years?
I think so, yeah. The Galway Galacticals will score more than you.
Okay, Galway will contest an All-Ireland final under Pádraic Joyce. Is that a fair enough
I think that's fair. Like, if Dublin win the next three,
you can't see Galway beating Kerry or Dublin in the final.
If I won't excuse the Kerry one, but if they get beat by Dublin in a final, I'll let you. You'll have won it.
Okay, all right.
Under Pádraic Joyce, as opposed to a 3 year deadline.
Under Pádraic Joyce.
So if he does a Cody and goes on for 15 years, you're safe enough.
He won't go 15 years if he doesn't win to a final.
Yeah, true.
Right, so I'm winning it if he gets to a final. All right, before we go, Kieran MacDonald's in as a coach. What are we hearing out of Mayo, Connor? Are we hearing new faces? Kieran MacDonald's involvement, what are we hearing?
Well, there's a few new faces around the panel. I suppose there had to be, because the likes of Andy has left, Ger Kafke has left. There's a bit of a shake-up in the backroom team as well. Obviously, Kieran MacDonald's in. Daniel Ford, who was in last year, is gone as well. I haven't heard a whole lot about Kieran MacDonald so far. It's not quite Dublin under Jim Gavin, but it's hard enough to get info of the Mayo setup. But just even hearing little tidbits that he is bringing kind of fresh ideas, I think various new drills and training and stuff like that. He was overseeing like a front and centre for a challenge match that Mayo played against NUIG on Sunday as well. So I think it'll bear out over the course of the league. We'll start to see MacDonald's influence, but I think it's clear, like from as soon as he brought in, that like the one thing that Mayo are probably lacking a little bit is that little bit of extra dimension in their forward line. So if he can, and like we're like when you mentioned raw materials with Galway, like Mayo have, they're not maybe blue chip forwards, but the likes of a lot of really good young talented players like James Carr, Fionn McDonagh, Kieran Tracy, these likes. So they're a bit raw at the moment, so who better, I suppose, to polish that rough diamond than Kieran MacDonald. So yeah, it's just like it's not really that hard to kind of emphasise his how, you know, the degree of reverence for him in Mayo. But like, you can just imagine going into a setup, and if you're a young forward and thinking that it's Kieran MacDonald that's going to be mentoring me today or for the rest of the season, yeah, it just must be such a huge boost for a lot of them in there at the moment.
Be a good boost for them. And it has to be said, James Horn was no slouch on the field either. Like, I mean, yeah, he was a half forward for MacDonagh and these lads, so he'd be well. He's good coach with them as well. Conan, it's a bit depressing. I saw a half time score last night. Donegal 4-2. Say it in so Rory Gallagher is not up to his old tricks.
Piss off. Like, you're talking about Pádraic Joyce, he's talking about Kieran MacDonald, and I'm doing Rory Gallagher's Derry.
Is he still at this is he brought Fermanagh tactics to Derry? I actually thought one of the stipulations for his kind of appointment was that they were going to demand it. Did we read this, or have we speculated on this, or where do we get this notion?
No, I think what Gallagher was saying, that he doesn't play one way.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. But as it turns out, he does.
he's
never played any other way. So the evidence of Derry so far is that he's continuing that.
Yeah, well, just from the McKenna Cup anyway, and I know he's without the Slock Neil players and Colerain hurlers as well, but yeah, it seems that way. Like, I get disappointed because Ben McCarron, who'd be a club mate of mine, I mentioned him last year, he scored a hat-trick in the McKenna Cup, and he was lined out, but then this partner was playing as one of the 14 men back behind the ball, and he's like this amazing forward, like, you know, he could win you a game. He's very young, but seemed to be that Ryan Bell was up top on his own, and then just everybody else just...
Listen, this is the only way I could compare this. Everybody is wearing skinny jeans, and Rory Gallagher is still wearing bootcut jeans.
Back, he's wearing flares.
He got to 1980s flares.
And you mentioned Johnny Heaney for Galway. Like, Keelan Ward lined out at cornerback for Donegal and scored 1-1. So, you know,
there you go. And I think he plays centre back for Unions as well. Like, yeah, there's more to him. He's played centre back for Donegal. That's the new thing now, lads. I'd actually go so far as I'd be picking a forward cornerback.
Yeah,
pick a forward. And so now the fellow who thinks he's got a utility role out around the midfield, now he's marking a forward.
Paul Mannion would love to be playing against your team.
Do you know what I mean, though? Because if you're playing a two-man full forward line, every team's doing it. So, like, why not just give them something else to think about? So there are players that they're sending back, you play with an extra forward. And that's the way you should do about it. One bit of good news to finish up on today, lads, is that the media manager from Dublin for the last 5 years under Jim Gavin, he's gone. So ding dong, the witch is dead. So, right? So we might get more access. So we don't know who Desi's new media manager is. There's a bit of speculation. It could be Sean Potts, who was his right hand man in the GPA.
Oh, he wrote his book, I think.
He wrote his book, yeah. Sean Potts was a journalist at one time. I think he worked for The Independent. So I'd be okay with him, I hope, until...
buttering him up now, really.
Anyways, this is it, lads. This is huge. So we could have some Dublin interviews.
Sean Potts is a great fellow.
It's a great lad, yeah. Sean. Yeah. But what's this Shep going to do? Just sit at home watching videos of himself walking around the field in shorts?
Just blocking things? Anytime somebody rings him, he picks the phone up. Yeah, back
imagine
down.
A man so full of his own importance just is irrelevant now.
Hopefully Sean Potts doesn't pick up the phone to Shep's like, what's this Colin Parkinson fella like? Will I let him back in?
Alright, so on that good news that the witch is dead, we're going to leave it there. We'll be back next week. I'm not sure if we're doing a show on Monday, but we'll be back with an All-Ireland preview show next Thursday for sure. We'll talk to you then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go. So I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken. I let it go, 'cause I